This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
That's not who we're going to be. You have to be able to maintain your composure in times like that. And under no circumstance do we want anything to do with anything like that.
And I made a mistake. And I lost my cool. And, and I regret it. You know, it's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, I appreciate my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Ugly enough in Cleveland as it is, got uglier on Thursday night as we all saw on national television, Myles Garrett pulling the helmet off, Mason Rudolph smashing him over the head. He has now been suspended indefinitely per Commissioner Roger Goodell yesterday, and that is just one of many things that happened over the course of the week here in Boston and around the country. But Larry, I mean, everybody is talking, and I mean everybody. You didn't even have to see the game on Thursday night. If you have even a casual interest in sports or football, just about everybody's talking about Myles Garrett and what we saw Thursday night.
Well, that's the magic of video now, that it brings things almost as close to life as you can get, and they show you every angle. And I'm not saying it's not a major story. Of course it is. Whenever you have people taking their gear in clubbing somebody over the head with it, it's a major story.
Because it doesn't happen very often,
well,
thank God.
Well, this happened with 8 seconds left in the game.
Right.
And it was, it reminded me of back many, 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 many years ago when 6'9", 317-pound Ernie Ladd of the San Diego Chargers clubbed 5'9", Charlie Toler in the head with his helmet.
Back in the old AFL days?
Yeah, yep. But it doesn't happen too often. And as you know, in the NFL, you get penalized, fined, even suspended from the game if you remove your helmet gear.
Well,
People realize how dangerous that can be.
We have seen violence in graphic terms in decades through the sport world. I mean, you think about Teddy Green, who just died last month at age 79. Very famously got whacked over the head by Wayne Mackey in a preseason game with the St. Louis Blues in 1969. Multiple fracture of his skull. Took him at least a year to get back on the ice.
He was never the same.
Never the same. Donald Beshear whacked by Marty McSorley recently. That was about 18, 19 years ago, 2000. He was a former Bruin. He was suspended for the rest of the season that year and never played another game again. Marty McSorley didn't. And then Vontaze Burfict, of course, just recently suspended for the rest of the year.
Well, he has continuously
awful
walked over the line. I guess there's an article in The Athletic with him in there, and he's calling the commissioner all kind of names. I doubt if we'll see him around again.
And then, I had forgotten about this, but I should have remembered, Albert Haynesworth. I don't know if you saw that video yesterday, back in 2006, before Bill Belichick had the very ill-fated experiment with him, stepped on an opposition's head while the helmet was off. So he took his football spike and placed it on top of a helmetless player's head, and that earned him, a six-game suspension back in 2006. So it does happen. And the only thing you can say about Thursday night was that, thank God, the way that Garrett smashed Rudolph's head with that helmet,
it was the lower
padding,
part of
the padding
helmet.
Hit the head instead of maybe the plastic part
on the top. Yeah, but I don't even understand it. Watching the play, it was just a simple sack, and I don't know how they ended up rolling around.
Well, I think it was more than a simple sack. It was at the end of the game. The game was well in hand. It was 21-7. If you look at it, he does take him down. And again, I understand Myles Garrett and everybody else who plays on the defensive line, who is a pass rusher, wants to get to the quarterback. They play a violent game. They're all gladiators.
Yeah, the quarterback had a poor, lousy game. I think 4 interceptions or something. It was a terrible game.
Right, anyway. But that has nothing to do, even if he had a great game.
No, I'm saying frustrated.
Right. I think that you could make a case that Rudolph responded poorly to the sack, yet did Garrett, if you go back and look at that replay.
Well, Rudolph tried to take his helmet off. That's what initiated
right,
it.
Right.
But it was unsuccessful, and Garrett got his by the face mask and tore it off his head.
Yeah. And apparently, from what I've heard, and certainly didn't know a lot about Mason Rudolph except for the fact he had the same name as a golfer from the 1960s who I used to watch. Apparently, he's a little bit of a belligerent sort anyway, and he might have inflamed things to a degree, but it's really hard. As much as you want to find some way to defend Myles Garrett because he's an extraordinary talent, and I guess you really have to be just a diehard, dog-pound Cleveland Brown fan to rationalize
what
you saw.
You can't defend it.
No, you can't.
Even he doesn't try to defend it. It was disgraceful.
And
he admitted
right?
it. And I know it's a very volatile game, and he lost his cool, but you'll have to have rules in place so that it doesn't happen that often. And he was caught and suspended, as well he should be, for the rest of the year and the playoffs if they were so lucky to get there. I think Pouncey of the Pittsburgh Steelers started to try and break it up, and then when he saw the helmet thing, then he went after Garrett throwing punches and trying
kicking.
The kick never made it anywhere. The only guy who should be commended to me is one of my favorite plays anyway, the guy David DeCastro from Stanford. He tried to break it up.
Well, there is some honor in your offensive line protecting your quarterback. And, you know, the number one goal, you think about it, within the rules of the game, the object of the game for the offensive line, if you're a guard or a tackle or a center, what's your main job? Protect the quarterback, open up holes for the running back. And because it's mostly a pass-happy league, the primary job is to protect the quarterback. And when they see the quarterback down and they're wrestling with a guy who's one of the best defensive players in the league, you don't think the quarterback's going to come out very well in that particular dynamic. So, yeah, initially I said kudos to Pouncey and other people who tried to come to Rudolph's rescue, but I cannot condone the kicking part. No, it didn't hurt anybody. Obviously, Garrett had the helmet on. No, I think he actually made contact with the helmet.
Yeah, but
okay.
It was nothing.
Listen, it was a black mark on the league, no question about it. It was on national television. All games are. But that was only one game on Thursday night. It wasn't on a Sunday afternoon. You got 10 other games. Everybody saw it, although you wonder, the game was
on. 8 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, 8 seconds left in the game. And I was watching a lot of the game. I tuned out well before that incident, thinking, obviously,
the game's over.
Browns had the game well in hand. And Rudolph was, you're right, absolutely abysmal in that game, throwing 4 picks, still does not excuse the behavior of Garrett. But we've seen that with Garrett throughout his short career. This is, his second year. He's had several roughing the passer penalties. For all his alleged sensitivity and reflective personality off the air, he does not know how to control himself on the field. And I think that is...
No, he'll learn now.
Well, you wonder.
Because that's without pay.
Right.
And that's, I don't know how much that is, but that's at least $3 or $4 million.
Actually, it's 1.3 if it's just the 6 games at the end of this year. And, you know, there are a lot of people who believe that 6 games is not nearly enough to punish Myles Garrett. What do you think about that? That some people are suggesting maybe four or five games next year.
I think it's a good penalty.
You like 6?
Yeah, I think 6 is good. To almost a half a season. And, you know, I think people go to the extremes. I noticed when Rudolph dropped his idea of legally taking him to court and stuff. I think what happens on a court, an arena or whatever, should be judged, hopefully, if it's done swiftly and fairly, then I think that's the end of it. It's right. An athletic event, and people lose tempers and the like, and I think it was good.
But yesterday...
It hurts the Browns.
Yesterday, as people were reacting, Larry, I don't know how much you were listening or reading about the story yesterday, but as the story unfolded, people were calling for lifetime ban, okay? Yeah. They were calling for an arrest for assault, as if, you know, he was walking down the street and somebody nailed him with a helmet. And I agree with you. I think what happens on a football field or any athletic event has to stay within the confines of that athletic event.
Well, you know, the other thing that helps to determine these things is Rudolph was fine, as far as we know. He was up, mouth and off, et cetera, and so on. It's not like he got struck in the head and fell to the ground in a coma or something. So I think that does
mitigate it a little bit.
Yeah, that it wasn't, you know, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So you suspend him for 6 games. It's certainly going to hurt the team because he's the best pass rusher they have, and that will determine that.
Well, it's also a product of the fact that, you know, as most people have observed, that the head coach really is way out of his league. Maybe he was a great quarterback whisperer for Baker Mayfield last year, but he is not head coaching material by any stretch. And that team is out of control. You wonder if a veteran coach who understood discipline a little bit more would have prevented that from happening from the get-go, would have sat Myles Garrett down, because there have been instances I've seen, as I have the Sunday ticket, see a lot of Browns games, and they've been on national television a few times already this year. He is a guy with immense talent but does not know how to control himself, and I was not surprised seeing some of Myles Garrett's antics earlier in the year and last year that something like that could happen.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not that familiar. I'm familiar with his pass rushing abilities, but not his temper.
And he is good. There's no, what is it, like second round pick? There's a lot of talent on that team. And unfortunately, because Freddie Kitchens is the head coach and really has no idea how to be a head coach on any level, they just do not have the wherewithal,
the discipline,
the cohesion to figure out how to put all those very good parts together to make an effective whole. And you saw it last week. Even when they're up 2 touchdowns. They have the game well in hand. They're beating a team they have a lot of trouble beating historically, divisional foe. The dog pound is excited. Maybe they're starting to move in a positive direction. And then that happens needlessly at the end of the game, where all you really should be doing is letting the clock run out and get into your locker rooms and, you know, live to play another game.
Shake
Everything
hands.
Everything was unfolding. I'm like, that's criminal. That's criminal behavior right there on the football field. And think how crazy that is for me to say. I mean, we literally, as football players, we get paid to physically assault another man. And for me to really think that action was criminal speaks volumes right there.
That is, of course, Damian Woody, former Patriot commentator, I believe, on NFL Network.
I think when time allows, time heals all wounds. And again, I think as long as nobody was hurt seriously and suspensions were doled out, I think in a matter of a week or two down the road that this will pass and people will move on to other things.
So you don't seem nearly as outraged and concerned as other people have.
No, I don't. I think it's an outrageous game anyway. I mean, your people are pummeling people all over the place, and you're commended for hard hits and et cetera and so on. So, no. I think usually people who react the way some of these people are reacting is they're not that familiar with the game. I don't condone it by any means. But I think the league handled it correctly. He's out for the rest of the year. I don't know what else. That's enough. That's plenty.
Yep, but there are many people out there. I'm reading papers, listening to radio shows, hearing commentators from all over the country. And, you know, Damian Woody, this was the night that it happened in the heat of the moment or moments afterwards, calling for Myles Garrett being arrested for criminal assault.
That's ridiculous.
And Mike Florio, who has a show on national television, of course, the pro football guy, he, by the middle of the day, this is before Goodell's suspension came out, he was calling for criminal charges and a lifetime ban.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. All right. That's ridiculous. I think what happens in the arena, unless somebody is carted off the field on a stretcher or something, if it ended up the way it did, he's suspended for the rest of the year, and if they were fortunate enough to make it in the playoffs, he would be out there for that too. I think that's fine, and I think it's fair.
I'm trying to remember. I first started watching sports in the mid-1960s. You alluded to Ernie Ladd in the old AFL days, but the incident that I remember, and I'm sure you do too, Dodgers-Giants, 1965.
Not Dodgers. Dodgers-Giants. Johnny Roseboro with the bat?
Yeah. Juan Marichal, one of the great pitchers of the 1960s, actually ended his career or near the end of his career with the Red Sox in the 70s and became a great ambassador and a sports commissioner. Dominican Republic was a conduit for many of the players from the Dominican coming to the United States, including Pedro, as a mentor of Pedro. And, you know, Juan Marichal, by all accounts, a great pitcher and a great human being, lost it. Of course, the National League still bats their pitchers, and in 1965, everybody did. Whatever happened, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember the incident. Juan Marichal was in the batter's box and decided to take a whack with that Louisville slugger on top of Johnny Roseboro's head and split his head open.
Do
you remember that, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember at Roseboro. Did he have his catcher's helmet on?
In those days, they didn't wear helmets.
Yeah.
You remember, they really didn't wear helmets until Koenig got hit in 1967. So this was 2 years before.
Yeah.
Probably had the mask and the hat backwards. So that was unprotected. And I don't remember exactly. I'll have to look it up, what Marichal's punishment was. But here was the guy. This wasn't just some run-of-the-mill pitcher. Hall of Fame pitcher.
Missed a high kick.
Had the high kick. Actually, you know, you think of the 1960s, you think of Gibson as being the stud
meanest
pitcher.
Yeah.
Won all those postseason games in the 60s. But Marichal won more games, or Koufax, you know, probably the greatest pitcher of all time in that 4 or 5 year stretch. But Marichal won more games than any other pitcher in the 1960s, but he had that ugly incident as well. It does happen. I agree with you, in the heat of the battle, especially in football.
Because the difference is with Burfitt, this guy has been, it's been in and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, this, if it's an occasion when a guy just loses it, like on Marshall's case, etc., then I think you penalize him accordingly, but I don't think it's not the end of the world for them if the person doesn't get severely injured.
Right.
But I think if you're constantly in the news like Burfitt has been, then I think he should be removed from the game.
Right. And Burfitt, when he was suspended for the rest of the year back in game number 4, that was an accumulation. That was based on a resume of violence.
Now I would get rid of him. The sport doesn't need him.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, you can look at it philosophically. I think you're doing that. They're paid to be gladiators, and sometimes it's difficult to turn it off. I do think you go over the line when you pull somebody's helmet off and use that as a weapon. That's why Joe Buck was so aghast. That's why...
I was too. Yeah. I was awake. I watched it. I was aghast by it. I thought it was
I had flipped out. I was awake. I flipped out of it by then. 21-7, you know, I saw the last touchdown.
8 seconds left clock out.
Right. And I wonder how many people actually saw it live. But as you pointed out at the beginning of this discussion, in the age of YouTube, everybody has seen it.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah. You see it. They play it almost too
over
much now.
Over and over again, and you're looking exactly how it is unfolded. And we have watched it, you're right, 24/7 since it happened. I was in the gym yesterday. Every television, wasn't on the impeachment hearings, it was on Myles Garrett.
Yeah. And it's funny because you wouldn't think that an event would come up that would overshadow the events of today with the National Football League, with Kaepernick and his
good point by
scouting report workout that that's almost that's a secondary story now.
Well, it sounds like you like to talk about that a little bit, young man.
Oh, I think it's worth talking about.
Right. Now, here's my question. Now, the question I would ask, and our telephone number, Larry, is what?
617-779-0850. 617-779-0850.
And, of course,
that was off the top of my head.
Very good. I'm so impressed. And if you don't have an AM radio or don't like the sound of your AM radio and you'd like to listen in...
come on over to the light side.
The radio.com app is available on the app icon. You can download it if you are not satisfied with your AM band. And you can listen to us on radio.com. Hit WEEI in the search bar. And I think the fourth or fifth option is WEEI 850 on ESPN or something like that. So you can listen two different ways. And we're going to be here till 12 o'clock. 617. I'm going to try this. Look, it's not written down anywhere.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
617-779-0850.
Good. So once you get to the zero,
practicing on my own.
You walk around the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
The thing with the Kaepernick story is very simple. If he looks good, not phenomenal, but if he looks good, really good, and what you would be getting is a cheaper version of Lamar Jackson. If he can move around, if he can throw the ball with any accuracy or anything, would you want him on your team? And my answer is, if he simply passed a couple of very simple questions, yes.
Okay. So let us be more specific.
Okay.
Because you're using an abstract
question. I'm kind of zeroing
in
on...
Let's be more concrete.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, your issue is your issue, and we can understand that, and you worked out a compromise with the league, and is all that behind us now? Can you just come in and play football?
Okay. And I'm asking you... If you're Belichick,
yep.
All right, because the Patriots are one of the 10 teams that will be attending this tryout in Atlanta this afternoon.
I don't know
afternoon.
Why somebody wouldn't attend. Anyway,
okay.
any other teams.
Well, here's the problem. By having it on Saturday, this is what opens up the question. Is this a legit tryout, or is it just a PR stunt? That's the question you have to ask.
I don't think it's a PR stunt. What good would come out of that?
Well, because we're paying lip service, we're putting on this dog and pony show, we're giving him a chance to get back in the league, we're trying to show Kaepernick and all his supporters that, you see, we're not blackballing, there's no collusion, I've heard that line before, no collusion, we're going to give him a legitimate chance to try out and rejoin any team in the National Football League that finds his services essential. So we're going to find out if the Patriots or nine other teams think he's good enough to play, or are they just going to go there and they're going to pretend to give him an evaluation.
If he's suitable, let's say if he passes
expectations. What's suitable? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, if he completes about 55% of his passes and he can move around good, I know he doesn't have a pass rusher or anything, I certainly think he's better than half of the backup quarterbacks in the league.
Well, I think he's better than almost all of them.
Yeah.
Tell me one backup quarterback that is potentially better than a Colin Kaepernick from the last time we saw him.
I haven't seen Kaepernick in a while, but I mean, took a team to the Super Bowl. I think that, you'd have to go down the list. But
I can tell you the last.
I certainly think he is more. Now, the problem is in this date and time, Haba had the opportunity at the offseason, et cetera, and so on, to change his offense around and make it suitable for Lamar Jackson to step in and be the mobile quarterback. Back. And his backup is RG3.
And guess, if you probably know this, but maybe not off the top of your head, and it just came to me, a lot of the credit a couple weeks ago for the Ravens' win over the Patriots was not only Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, but the offense coordinator, Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where Greg Roman was before he came to Baltimore?
Patriots.
No, Greg Roman was the San Francisco 49ers
offensive
coordinator.
Oh, really? I thought he was the Patriots.
No, Greg Roman was 49ers. So he worked with Kaepernick. He knows.
Oh.
Okay. So Roman is sort of this
But they wouldn't carry three quarterbacks anyway.
No, wouldn't probably make. I don't even know who the back. Who is the back? It's RG3. Okay, so you have RG3 as the backup. But my question, this is what I'm asking. Let's be more concrete. If you're Belichick, do you treat this, even though he won't be there because they're traveling down to Philadelphia, and this is a little bit of the sham aspect of this tryout. Saturday's
travel
day. Yeah,
why not have it on a Tuesday?
Have it on
a day. They
should have had it on a Tuesday. Tuesday's the perfect day because that's the day off.
Right.
That is everybody's day off. Now, coach is obviously still working, but that's the player's day off. Then you could have had general managers, player personnel guys, and head coaches actually attending.
But they will have tape available to them.
Right. So if you're Belichick, you're a Patriot fan. Okay? And you cannot separate Kaepernick's ability, whatever he has left at age 32 after 3 years off, a lot of rust. It's impossible to separate Kaepernick the player with Kaepernick the guy that takes a knee before each and every game. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that? There are a lot of people out there. You claim, and you're probably right, people will move on from Myles Garrett. People have not moved on from Colin Kaepernick.
Well, they'll move on if he moves on. He got paid. There was whatever the, whatever the agreement was between him and the National Football League. He moved on. I'm not saying he moved on, but he got paid for that. So part of my conditioning for trying to sign him and bring him on board is, are you ready to move on? Either stay in the dressing room and come out after the national anthem, or just come out and deal with like everybody else does. That would be the agreement. And if he can't do that, then I don't want him.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if, and one of the reasons, obviously, why he's been out of the league for 3 years, no one wanted to touch him. He was a third rail that no one wanted any part of whatsoever. And, you know, remember, this is a business. And the National Football League and all its owners are interested in pleasing the fans. They want to make sure that the fans go to the stadiums, more importantly, watch them on television, pay for Red Zone, pay for the Sunday ticket, buy all the merchandise. And Colin Kaepernick was a threat to that in a lot of ways. There are a lot of, We had a disagreement about Colin Kaepernick. You disagreed with what he did. I'm a supporter of what he did. Most people are on your side. Most fans in the National Football League are on your side. And I wonder, as much as, you know, he might be the Lamar Jackson light of any team that happens to pick him up, will those fans forgive him? Even if he decides to stay in the...
come out and play, yeah.
So it doesn't. So you really believe that...
I just want... You know what? On a Sunday, there's so much damn stress out in the world, and you're bombarded now with these impeachment hearings and every other kind of stuff going on. On a Sunday afternoon, I want to sit down and I want to watch a football game. I don't want all of these other distress situations going on. I really don't.
I know we're reviving a debate from 3 years ago. But when did you ever pay attention to anybody's reaction to the national anthem?
On the sidelines, no.
No one paid any attention.
No.
The problem is the NFL owners brought it on themselves. Because as we remember, and it still happens, I was telling my son this last week, we were watching the color guards.
Donald Trump also indicated, say, get these bleeps off the field.
Yeah, yep, and he's playing to his base. But remember, All of that pomp and circumstance that happens before a game where the flag comes out and members of the military are out there, that's all paid by military organizations, Army, Navy, Air Force,
et cetera,
NFL.
And I got a phone call in here about a half hour before we were going on the air.
Today?
No.
Oh, this is years ago. Yeah.
Asking us
not to talk about it.
To go into detail with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, we got a couple of sets of tickets for that, but...
no, we did not.
Yeah,
I wish.
Get a damn thing.
I wish we did. 617-779-0850. Got that number out. I am ready to go. I am going to be faultless, flawless in my recitation.
That was excellent with the phone number.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the... How can we listen to...
You can go to your cell phone.
Yeah.
And there's a radio app
right
on there that you can punch up and go to radio.com. at radioapp.com, and you can punch it, and then you'll see the listings down
punch
there.
Punch it. Be careful. We've been talking about Miles Garrett.
I didn't say
all
use your helmet. Okay. I said you
just tap it. That's what they say. The kids say tap it.
But I mean, if you're a team like the Jets and you got Falk as a backup,
no, I'm not talking about the Jets. I'm talking about the New England Patriots.
Jarrett Stidham. You have to be able to. You can't have two quarterbacks operating with two different offensive systems. You know that.
All right, so he can only go to a team that is running the pistol?
I would think so.
So Greg Roman would be perfect in Baltimore.
Well, they've already got two quarterbacks.
Okay, so they have two quarterbacks in New England, too. They have two quarterbacks everywhere.
No, they have two quarterbacks operating under that system, RG3 and Lamar Jackson.
So if they don't operate under a system that's going to be amenable to Kaepernick's skills, then you don't think he should go to that team?
No.
So Patriots are out.
I think a team like Arizona, they've got a running quarterback. I think you got to have a running quarterback. You got to have somebody who can move around.
Arizona? That was a backup you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got Andy Lee as your backup quarterback there. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
And, you know, I would say this, and we'll talk a little bit more on the other side of the break, that I think Kaepernick is, based on what I saw the last time he was on the field, 16 touchdowns and just 4 picks in his last year with the 49ers, I think he's capable of being a starting quarterback for some of these teams. I think he's certainly better.
I'm not saying
than,
he isn't, but at this time, way of the season, you know, you San Diego Chargers where you got Tyrone Taylor. I mean, it's, you know, you can, I certainly don't think you could, he could step in and be a starter in most instances.
Well, we shall find out. We'll see what happens in his tryout today down at Atlanta. So a couple of questions for you at 617-779-0850.
Yeah, would you want him on your team?
Would you want him on the Patriots? Forget your team.
The
Patriots.
Much.
Okay.
Well, you got Big Al down there in Georgia. I mean, you've got all kind of people out there from different locations.
Yeah, but Al's a Patriot fan. Doesn't matter where he's calling from. He's a Patriot fan. That's why he's listening to this program. So would you want Kaepernick on the Patriots, and was the punishment doled out to Miles Garrett after Thursday night's ugly incident
fair
enough and fair? 617-779-0850. Mustard
and
Johnson.
You've got that down.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, I don't need you anymore. You can go home now.
Wow. That,
your only purpose on this show is to give out the number.
I don't even remember the old number.
I wish I it's still in my head somewhere, but it's starting to go into the dark recesses of my mind, like everything else in this world. We'll be back right after this. And here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Look at them go. 10 in a row. Celts have now won 10 straight games after that opening night loss. They moved to 10-1 with a 105-100 win over the Underman Warriors last night out in their brand new arena in San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Bruins stopped the 4-game streak. They beat the Leafs up in Toronto 4-2. It is the Patriots and Eagles facing off this Sunday at 4:25. Alshon Jeffrey and Nigel Bradham have been declared out for the Eagles, and starting running back Jordan Howard is questionable. Patriots, of course, trying to come off and get a win after losing to Baltimore a couple weeks ago before the bye week. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The league is holding a pro day for Colin Kaepernick on Saturday. It's never happened in the history of the league before. What are your thoughts on this? Is this just a PR stunt? Are teams serious about bringing him in? And what do you make of the timing?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. you know, hell, he wasn't that good a player anyway, you know. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, you would think if there was real interest in him that he'd already be on a team.
Workout is not getting on the team. They could easily want the storyline that they gave him a workout because they gave him a shot. Every move that the NFL has made up until this point has been PR for them. It's been disingenuous. And I don't think this is any different.
As Eric Reed, former teammate of Kaepernick, before that Rex Ryan on Dale and Keefe, a couple of skeptics, not putting a whole lot of credence, Larry Johnson, into this tryout that will unfold this afternoon in Atlanta.
I think that's ridiculous. I think if there's any corporation that does not need extra PR for anything, it's the National Football League. I think it's ridiculous. I question why they're having it on a Saturday instead of a Tuesday, but be that as it is, I certainly would, if I had a team, I certainly would go down or send down an abled representative to watch him work out. Of course I would.
Yeah, but one thing I would say, Rex Ryan, who had two shots, and I know he went to a couple of AFC championship games, but his quarterback was a guy that's now working for ESPN.
The butt fumble.
Yeah. You know, he didn't exactly have great quarterbacks, Mark Sanchez being a poster boy that never going to forget that butt fumble game against the Patriots on a Sunday night in an embarrassing loss. He wasn't exactly blessed with great quarterbacks. He might have won a few more games with Colin Kaepernick. I think he's a little underrated. The guy was one questionable call away from winning a Super Bowl against the Ravens back in 2013. The guy has some talent, and what's kept him off the field is his what I thought was a worthy protest, not against our troops, not against America per se, but against police brutality. That's something that I thought was a legitimate issue. He did have his defenders. I know they're few and far between, but it's time, I think, to let go of that, and let's see if the guy has enough talent to actually be on an NFL team. I think he does.
Well, he came to a compromised agreement with the National Football League, and he got paid some money for it. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that issue is over. Now it's time to come out and play football. And I think if he can play football, then certainly people would, turn the other way and just concentrate on his football abilities.
So you think there's no way the Patriots, even if they thought he still had enough talent, could integrate Kaepernick into the existing offense?
See, I think at the age 32, it's a little bit long in the tooth to bring in a guy like that. You figure Brady might have two more years left.
Well, Brady's 42 and he's
still
playing.
Well, Brady's an exceptional athlete, though. We know that.
Well, I think Kaepernick is an exceptional athlete.
Well, we don't know that. We'll have to see. Anyway, I wouldn't want him here, but I think he should be playing in the National Football League.
Okay, so it's as long as he's not playing for your team.
No, there's no other reason.
And
there's no other reason. Okay. There's no other reason for him, for I'm not wanting him. It's nothing to do with the other stuff. That's gone now. I think that's in the past, but
all
that's
right,
up to him.
All right, so I think he's good enough to start for some teams. I mean, think of some of the players right now who are starting because of injuries or whatever reason. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is he as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No. Yes.
Occasionally, Ryan Fitzpatrick can play some.
He catches on fire, but
yeah,
for
most part, he is a guy that's going to always throw a pick in a pressure situation.
You got Tannehill.
Is he better than although Tannehill actually beat the Chiefs last week.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
Looked pretty good, but that Chiefs defense is absolutely abysmal. How about Mitch Trubisky? Is he as good or better than Mitch Trubisky? I would assert that yes, he is. Mitch Trubisky is an abomination as the starting quarterback for the Bears.
How about Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew is an excellent player who will lose his job this week. I think Jacksonville's coming off the bye, and Nick Foles is making his not his debut because he got hurt in the first quarter of his game.
Yeah, I like him,
yeah.
Nick Foles.
And, well, I didn't like him a couple of years ago when he did that Philly special.
Yeah.
Ryan Finley is now the starting quarterback for Cincinnati. Brandon Allen is the quarterback for the Broncos. I think there's plenty of room. And Mason Rudolph, who was absolutely, actually, he didn't play badly up until the other night.
No, he was terrible.
In that game, he was. But he was
terrible.
And then, you know, the guy who's actually distinguished himself a little bit is Kyle Allen, who's filled in pretty nicely for Cam in Carolina.
I think he's done a nice job down there.
But I think Kaepernick has the ability. I still do. But my problem is, if you don't want him with the Patriots, why do you think Belichick's even going?
Phrase it that way, because then it becomes like a protest thing. I don't want him here. No, I said any team that takes him, you'd have to be willing to adjust your offense to his abilities. Unless he's totally changed and he's really pretty much a pocket quarterback.
What do they say about why is Bill Belichick the greatest coach?
Oh, he can adjust. Obviously, we know that
he can adapt. He can play any kind of offense or defense that he needs to play to win. We saw that last year. Tom Brady threw four straight passes into the end zone against Pittsburgh, and they became a running team after that and won a Super Bowl.
I think a team I would definitely go out and try and get him is the Washington Redskins. Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins.
See, I disagree with that one.
And Colt McCoy.
See, I think at this point, and I know that Haskins is now starting, I think you got to do in Washington what the Giants are doing with Daniel Jones. You got to let Haskins play. And, you know, maybe.
Well, they're not. They keep switching back.
It's a mistake. It sounds as if.
If you're the Bears?
Yeah, the Bears would be a good shot. But what my question again is, why are the Patriots going to this tryout if they have absolutely no use for Kaepernick?
That's my wording. I wouldn't say absolutely. I think you have to go down and see him.
Right.
Scouting purposes.
Why would... scouting purposes.
I mean, what happens if he goes on another team and you have to see a package with him? You know Bill Belichick's key on that.
So he's playing three-dimensional chess again, that he's absolutely. actually scouting Kaepernick for future games.
See, I'm not adamant that I wouldn't take him, but it would be like taking... that quarterback of a couple of years ago who just couldn't play. Popular player, played baseball.
Tim Tebow?
Yeah. Whoever...
He took on Tebow.
Wait a minute. Whoever signs him is signing a PR nightmare. You have to admit to that.
Right. And Tebow had his own issues. People objected, not necessarily you. You were sensitive to this. He was a Christian, wore his Christianity on his sleeve, and you were afraid that that would offend or turn off a few fans.
I wasn't afraid of that.
He just couldn't play.
First of all, I don't even think that for somebody who wears his Christianity on his sleeve, he had a great opportunity when he went to the Jets and they had this huge press conference. And a person asked him a question about his Christianity, and he said, well, I'm really not here to talk about that. I couldn't understand that. He could have given a very acute answer to that question, because if he is a Christian, then his purpose is to explain why he's a Christian. That's what he should have done. So I really resented that about him, but... Aside from that, he can't play.
Right. And I think that people would have overlooked that no matter what your feelings about religion were. And I thought he handled himself fairly well. That never bothered me because that's not an issue for me.
Well, you don't care anyway.
It was for you. I happen to be a secular humanist. You happen to be a Christian. We both agree.
And I asked you to go to church one week and you refused to do it.
But we both agree on basic principles.
At least tell me this much. Do you understand what being a Christian is?
I believe in secular Christianity.
No, I didn't ask you that.
Okay, I believe in the golden rule.
No, I didn't ask you that.
But that's what Christianity is based on, the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
No. Do you know what a Christian is? If you're going to reject something, reject it, but at least understand what you're rejecting.
Well, that's not really our... This is not really the place to be having that discussion.
Any place is a... I just asked you that. Do you know what a Christian is?
A person that believes that Jesus Christ is a savior of some sort, some supernatural savior.
No.
What is it?
A Christian is a person who admits that they are a sinner and that they have repented from that and given their life to Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins on the cross.
Okay, I think it's pretty close. Pretty close. We were in the same ballpark.
Yeah, like a hand grenade. Pretty close.
But I think people were much more willing to, if Tebow could play, much more willing, no matter what your religious persuasion, to accept Tebow than they ever would a Kaepernick, who they think was, frankly, a treasonous.
See, I understand all that, but in my opinion on Kaepernick is if he's willing to keep his mouth shut and just play football, that's what I'm interested in.
But that's my question. And Larry's sort of dancing around it. But
why am I dancing him around?
Because first you said you didn't want him there.
No. I said any team that signs him.
I'm not asking about any team.
Well,
we're
Patriots.
In New England.
Fine, the Patriots.
Okay. Because let's put it this way. If Brady does go down.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's been very, very fortunate.
With that offensive line, yes.
Well, it could happen. He is 42 years old, despite the fact that he hasn't had any injuries at all since 2008 when he went out for the season. If he does go down, and it's more likely as he gets older than ever before, particularly with that porous offensive line, would you, even though they're 8-1 and they're locked to make the playoffs in the AFC East, would you be comfortable with Jarrett Stidham taking over for the rest of the season and to the playoffs with Brady down? Wouldn't a Colin Kaepernick, who's been to multiple playoff games, who's been to a Super Bowl, wouldn't you be in better hands with him?
Because the Patriots are a mature team. They're not like some rookie team with a bunch of nobodies. I think you need a quarterback with experience to come in and guide them if they were to make a run in the playoffs.
Right.
I do.
Now, people are... We're comparing Jarrett Stidham to a Matt Castle who could probably slide in as Castle did in 08, yet they didn't make the playoffs despite that 11-5 record. Stidham threw a pick six against the Jets early in the year. Haven't seen him since.
Yeah, I do like him.
I saw him in the preseason. Looked pretty good, Stidham. Yep. Looked pretty good. But given the expectations for this team, Super Bowl or bust –
Now,
I just don't see how Stidham would be able to do that.
As you know, Hoyer is a perfect situation as somebody who came in and played a couple of games for the Colts.
And lost last week and lost the week before. I think Brissett's coming back.
He was adequate.
You know what the problem with that team is? That Vinatieri is...
Oh, my God!
He can't make anything anymore.
You made the pants too long. You made the, he's got to retire. He's got to.
He's 46 years
that
old.
That last field goal, man. When the thing's going left, when it leaves your foot, you know you got a problem.
Yeah, and here, this guy is, first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the best kicker in the history of the league, but he's 46 years old. And, even kickers.
Get out while you can. I can say to him is get out while you can. Because
actually, he wanted to retire. Remember, after missing a couple of kicks, because he has very high standards for himself, and no one's done it more consistently and under more pressure situations than he has for two different teams, he wanted to quit, and they begged him to come back. Mm. But now I think the shelf life
now
is pretty much over.
Leave.
Yeah, for Adam Vinatieri. Mm. So, yeah, I do think that there is a place. There are a lot of mediocre to bad quarterbacks. Starting quarterbacks are going down at an alarming rate this year. This has been the year of the backup quarterback.
Amazing, too, is because no matter what they try to do, and the league certainly has bent over backwards in terms of protecting a quarterback. So it's amazing to me how so many are on the shelf.
Yeah. Now, this brings me back to the Rudolph Garrett thing again. Some people think that Mason Rudolph got off scot-free, that how is he skating? How is he not being fined or maybe suspended for at least...
Well, he didn't throw any blows.
There have been some people who think that maybe there's a racial element to it.
No, I don't think so. He didn't throw any punches.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know how you could... How can you fine or suspend somebody who hasn't thrown any punches?
Yeah. But there's another example. Pittsburgh. Rudolph has been okay, and maybe he has some potential. He's had some good games and bad games. That's what happens when backup quarterbacks are thrust into the fray. But a Kaepernick taking over for Roethlisberger at the beginning of the year probably would have been more helpful if
Again,
you're looking at Pittsburgh.
As much as I am not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I don't think there's a team in the league who deserves more credit than that team does. But when you look at their losses in terms of the wide receivers, the running back, the starting quarterback, Shushu. I mean, all these guys, they deserve a lot of credit for the way they've been playing this year with diminished troops. They really do. No. They have been unbelievable. You take the best receiver in the league, one of the best running backs in the league, one of the best starting quarterbacks in the league, and they all go down. Can you imagine doing that with the Patriots?
Well, again, if we think that Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, then, you know, we saw it in 2008 without Brady.
I don't think he's the greatest general manager of all time by any means. By the way, that when I watched that Frisco game in Seattle, that kid Hollister, the backup,
looked good, didn't he? The tight end.
Yeah. And I'm saying, we're sitting around here whining about we don't have a tight end. What was wrong with Hollister?
Hollister looked very good.
Looked very good.
And that was a game that obviously went right down to the wire, literally down to the wire, down to the final gun, last play in overtime before Seattle finally won that game. Garoppolo's had his issues. You know, here's a guy that we all thought would be the heir apparent to the throne. Some people thought he would displace Brady.
I thought Bigger McFarlane really nailed him. And it was
pretty critical.
It was before he fell apart. He threw two potential interceptions that he got away with. Then he finally moved the team for a field goal that fell short. But Garoppolo did not look like a quarterback in control.
In his defense, he doesn't have a whole lot of weapons right now. His wide receiving core is banged up. Their offensive line is not particularly good either.
You can say that about everybody, Craig. Right. Everybody, almost all of these. Look at what New Orleans had to do. Fortunately, they had a backup quarterback who... you know, who did pretty good for them.
But that's my point about Kaepernick. Kaepernick is a tried and true starting quarterback. He served as a backup in his last year when he had to come in at the end of the year, had threw 16 touchdowns in only four picks. The guy can play. I think the Patriots have a good reason to go down to Atlanta and check out and see what this guy has.
I would check. I certainly would go down. I'll go down.
Right. You're going to go down? You volunteer?
I would go down.
Yeah, you got a couple extra minutes?
I'd like to leave right about now.
Believe me, you have my permission. I highly encourage it.
All right, good. You do the show alone then.
All right, so question for you, and we'd love to hear from you. What's that number, Larry?
617-779-0850. We'll put you on the air with Mustard and Johnson. What we try to do is pick out a topic or two to lead the show with, because we think that these are great topics, and we also think that you would like to partake in them. If not, we will gladly move on to other items in the news, but we prefer to talk about this one for a while.
Well, what other items would you like to discuss, young man?
Well, I think the Celtics situation is, are they real or are they, you know?
Is it real or an illusion?
What was that ad? They had that ad.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Memorex, yeah.
Remember Ella Fitzgerald doing that.
I don't know. Are they playing a bunch of tomato cans or what? I don't know with them.
Last night's a perfect example.
Well, that's a tomato can right now.
It's hard to believe that the Golden State Warriors have the worst record in the NBA. They're 2-10?
Yeah, this is going back to the days when they really lived up to these records.
Right. And, you know, the Patriots, the Celtics, you know, they're playing like the Patriots. Actually, they have a better record than the Patriots, 10-1 instead of 8-1.
Because if you're Golden State, let it roll. I wouldn't try to bring Curry back early or any of that stuff. I would let it roll, count the season for what it is. You get a really high draft pick. And then you'll have a really good club next year.
All right.
There's no sense trying to build anything this year.
All right, we're going
to
talk about that. Talk about Kaepernick. Talk about Myles Garrett. Telephone number 617-779-0850. Bottom of next hour, we have the football writer for the Boston Globe, Ben Volen, will weigh in on Garrett and the Patriots. We'll do a little preview of the Eagles game. That's right. The Patriots are still playing. It seems like it's been eons since their last game, that loss to Baltimore.
That red zone is fantastic, though. If there's not a Patriot game on, that red zone just allows you to catch up with everybody.
You see, I have DirecTV, and they don't give you the red zone because they have their own version of the red zone, which isn't really that good.
How many games can you watch?
So the Sunday ticket, which I have, my son persuaded me to do it because he's such a crazy football fan. You can watch any game. And what they give you is you go to one particular channel. It's called Mix. And you can see all the games. They're all in boxes. And you just click onto the box.
Which game you want to watch.
Watch. And then if it's in a commercial, you don't go to that game. You go to the other game.
See, I like the Red Zone because they give you meaningful moments in each game.
Right. The only problem with Red Zone I have is if you want to sit down, like I kind of want to read the paper or maybe do a crossword puzzle at the same time. It's just too frenetic.
You can't relax
at all.
You can't really have a relationship with any one game.
No. Or any other people because you're just totally riveted on the action.
Who do you have in mind?
Very few, as a matter of fact. 617.
Is this on the couch with your son in the room?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we have a very, but sometimes, the Red Zone, you can't do anything but watch the games.
I know.
Okay, you're totally fixated.
Where a regular football game, there are moments.
Right, you kind of pick and choose
team
your spots.
Back on their own 20-yard line or something, there are moments when you can read and look up when something's going on.
I think they actually broke it down.
But I still love it.
If you throw out the huddle, throw out the commercials and the timeouts, they play 11 minutes. There's 11 minutes of action in a 60-minute football game. Which takes, 3 hours and 10 minutes?
But if you're interested in knowing what's going on in each game, it's fabulous.
Right. So I still think
it's the best thing on TV for sports.
Well, it's the greatest invention ever, and Pete Rozelle, in his infinite wisdom in 63, put all the games on national television and created what we know now as the National Football League.
I continue to marvel, because we're very provincial around here, but I continue to marvel how... With the Red Zone, like you just have interest in every game they put on there.
And if you tried to do that with the NBA or
hockey,
MLB or NHL, it would not succeed.
It does not work.
Now, it only works in football. Maybe it's the once-a-week mentality, but it's certainly highly successful. All right, so we want to hear from you. Is Kaepernick worthy of returning to the National Football League? And since we're here in the Boston area, how about the New England Patriots? Should they have any interest? They are attending that tryout. And, of course, Myles Garrett, was six games enough? Your thoughts, your comments, 617-779-7...
Honest to God.
I almost went through a full hour. I promised, I vowed that it would be a faultless, flawless performance.
You will be horsewhipped during the commercial.
How does one get horsewhipped anyway? Do you have any horses around
here?
They
put you in a room.
And they take a horse.
And they tie you to the pole.
Oh, I see.
And then they whip you.
Oh, sound like you're familiar with this scenario.
Another racial comment by Craig Mustard.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, if you're not talking about relationships with you and your wife on the couch, then you're talking making racial slurs about being horsewhipped.
617.
What a guy.
What was that old line Groucho said? I'd horsewhip you if I had a horse. From one of those Marx Brothers
movies.
Yeah, he's one of the best. All right, we're going to take a break. Hour number two, Ben Volen from the Globe, bottom of the hour, your calls. Until then, right here on Sports Radio, WEEI AM, with Mustard and Johnson.
Mustard and Johnson on WEEI ESPN 850 AM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.